The beginning of this sermon did not record correctly, so I'm going to go ahead and re-preach the beginning, and then we'll jump into where the recording picks up. First of all, I want to start off with today's principle and our sharing Jesus without freaking out, week 5. And so principle 5 is this: effective evangelistic conversations connect the unchanging gospel with the specific issues people face. Let me say that again. Effective evangelistic conversations connect the unchanging gospel with the specific issues people face. We see scriptural examples of this, and the first one is I want to look at is one we've already talked about in previous weeks, and that's Acts 17, verses 16 through 31, and we're not going to read that, but it's when Paul is in Athens and he's sharing the gospel message with the people, and he points to their culture. He points to the poets in their culture, and he points to the idols in their culture, and one specific idol that's unnamed to share the gospel with them. And the gospel message did not change, but he started exactly where they were to share the unchanging gospel with them. The second example I want to look at is in Acts verse 30 through 31 and then verse 35, and that's chapter 8 in Acts. And it says this: when Philip ran up to it, this is a chariot, when he ran up to the chariot, he heard him, and this is the Ethiopian eunuch, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that scripture. Now this is where we pick back up into the recording.
Okay, and so beginning from the issue that he was facing in that moment, the not understanding what the scripture was saying, he started there and connected the gospel, the good news, the gospel, the same thing, that's the same words, good news, gospel, to Jesus. And that's where he started. And that's what we're going to look at today. That's the challenge that we face when talking to someone about Christ. Many times we get stuck overanalyzing the conversation and we don't proceed into actually talking about Jesus. And so the struggle, and I don't know if you found this to be a struggle in your life or found this to be true, the hardest thing about sharing Jesus, once we know the gospel, so we've been telling ourselves the gospel the last few weeks and learning it ourselves, maybe talking to other believers about the gospel. Once we know it, the hardest part is transitioning to the conversation that from the conversation we're having to specifically talk about Jesus. We find ourselves stuck in the paralysis of analysis, overthinking the conversation, so we end up not talking about Jesus at all. Anybody else been there? I thought I was going to find myself there yesterday. I was having a conversation with a person yesterday, and I was thinking, man, I got to take this to Christ. I got to take this to Christ. How am I going to take this to Christ? And there was like opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to take it to Christ, and it just didn't feel right at the moment to take it that direction, and then it came. And it was like, boom, here it is. Here's the opportunity to do it. And I was able to take it and share the gospel through the conversation we're having, starting in that moment with the person. And so as you start to do this and as you start to think through this, it becomes easier and easier to do. But you'll start to notice, and I think you've probably already noticed in your conversations, well, there's an opportunity I could have taken it to Jesus. There's another opportunity I could have taken it to Jesus. And maybe you're battling, okay, how do I transition without being rude and interrupting to take this to Jesus? And so we're going to look at today some practical aspects or practical steps that you can take, like Philip did, an introductory question to take it to the gospel message. We need to focus less on speaking cleverly and more on just sharing honestly about the gospel. A lot of times we think we got to be clever and we think we got to be witty instead of just being honest and open about our life and honest and open about our need for the gospel and need for Jesus. And so we don't share because we're looking for that witty intro. May we be like the believers, the early believers, when they were told to stop speaking about Jesus. This is one of my new favorite verses. Acts 4:20 says this, "For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When they were told to shut up, basically, they're like, nope, we can't. It's impossible because we've seen this. We heard this. We know this is real. We know the salvation that we have in Jesus, so we have to talk about it. It is real to us. The challenge is to, when we have the conversation with someone, as soon as Jesus pops into our mind, to start taking it there, finding the way to take Christ into the conversation that we're having. And so how do we do that? Well, it starts with prayer. Expand your resources by starting in prayer. Rely on the power of prayer. We cannot evangelize effectively on a consistent basis without prayer. Do we realize this last statement? Witnessing is spiritual warfare. There is a battle going on over that person, where Satan does not want them to hear about Jesus, and Satan does not want you to tell them about Jesus. And so there's a spiritual battle going on over that conversation, whether you're going to or not going to. And so bathe that conversation prior to it in prayer, enduring it in prayer. That's one thing I started doing yesterday, as I was knowing, okay, I need to start taking this to Jesus. I just studied this chapter. I got to start applying this chapter in my life. And I was like, you know, the chapter challenged me to start, as soon as I start to think about Jesus, to start taking the conversation to Jesus. And I was like, how do I do that? And I just started praying as I'm having a conversation, and you're praying and you're listening at the same time, and you're thinking, how's this going to happen? And then it happens. And so as you start to pray and as you start to rely on God's power to work through what you're going to do, that's when you start to share. And so realize that in our conversations, there is real spiritual warfare going on. Satan does not want you to share Jesus. Satan does not want that person to accept Jesus. And so there is a battle. So how do we connect prayer and evangelism? Connecting prayer and evangelism. Here's how we pray. Pray for boldness to witness. These can be prayers as you're having a conversation. These can be prayers before you go to work that day. They can be prayers whenever you want to. Just pray for boldness to witness. Acts 4:29-30 says this, "Grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." This was a prayer request that the early believers had, that others would pray for them that they would be granted boldness to share in their witness. And so this is the same prayer that we need. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for us. God, please give me boldness as I witness. The second is this, pray in the Spirit's power. Rely on the Spirit's work as we are witnessing, but pray in His power as the Holy Spirit brings to your mind that you need to start going towards Christ. In that moment when you're going, where you're being challenged to take the conversation to Jesus, start praying, relying on the Holy Spirit, and start praying in that moment because the Holy Spirit is at work in your life to proclaim that. Ephesians 6:20, verses 18-20 says this, "Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." And then going on, he asks this prayer, "Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth, and make known the boldness and the mystery, or with boldness, the mystery of the gospel." Man, is that the prayer you need? Pray for me that I will open my mouth. You know, pray for me that God will give me the message when I open my mouth, and will make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. "For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold enough in Him to speak as I should." And so pray that for yourself and pray that for each other as believers. Going on to the next prayer that we need to have. Pray for harvesters to join you. Should be a great reminder as you're driving up and down the roads, the county roads right now, as you see maybe farmers within our own church farming their fields, or you see other farmers farming their fields, or just see a combine driving down the road because you got to pull over, whatever it may be. As you see those things, reminder, hey, I need to not only pray for maybe the farmer, but I need to pray for the harvesters of the spiritual crop. You know, we're sharing the gospel. We're planting seeds of the gospel with people. And so we need to pray for those that are throwing those seeds out and those that are harvesting as well. And Jesus actually told us to do this. It says this in Matthew 9, 37, 38. The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Here's a question for you. How would our neighborhoods, how would our workplaces, how would our homes look differently if we all started to have spiritual conversations on a regular basis? What if each one of us here today was to reach one person for Jesus this week? There would be no room in the sanctuary next week if we were to start to have these spiritual conversations on a regular basis, encouraging people to get into a church family so that they can grow with the church family, the bride of Christ, the church. It would look so much different. You may have some people that walk away from you at work. The conversations may change at work around you. I used to have that in the machine shop. Guys would have a total different amount of words they would use around me versus other people. And if they let one of those shorter words slip, they'd be like, sorry. And I'm like, it's not a big deal. Just, I'm not offended. Because I wasn't expecting them to live the Christian life because they weren't Christians. And so I didn't want them to necessarily change who they were around me. I'd rather share the gospel and the fact that he's the one who can change us. So just think about that. We start praying for harvesters and we start realizing in our own life, man, I need to be a harvester. I need to be someone who's going out and proclaiming the gospel. And then we start having these spiritual conversations and our coworkers and our friends and our family is coming to know Jesus because we finally had that real honest conversation about Jesus, how Jesus has changed our life. In a way that's not a preset gospel presentation, but we started with their life and connected it to the gospel. How would those places be different? Next, pray for those who need Jesus. Ask God to open their spiritual eyes. There's actually several steps through this one. How we pray for those who need Jesus. Ask God to open their spiritual eyes. 1 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so for us to respond to the gospel message, we need our eyes to be open because there was a time that we were blinded to our need for Jesus. And so we need to pray for their spiritual eyes to be open. Next, we need to ask God to give them ears to hear. We all have ears, but do we actually hear? Do we actually listen? Matthew 13:15 says this, for this people's hearts has grown callous. You know, you think about the calluses on your hands or calluses on your fingers. There's a time where you don't feel anything anymore. There's no response. When I played guitar on a daily basis or a weekly basis, I had these calluses on the ends of my fingers where I didn't even feel the pressure on the strings anymore. I could push them with no problem. If I played guitar today, my fingers would kill me because I haven't played guitar more than 5 times in the last year. And so the reality is those calluses are gone. And so the reality is in our world, people's hearts have calloused over. And so we need God to remove that so that we can hear, the gospel message for real the first time. Because maybe we've heard it over and over, or someone's heard it over and over, but they've never actually really listened to their need and connected it to their life. And so that's what you're seeking to do, connect the gospel to their life. For these people's hearts has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understanding with their hearts, and turn back, and I would cure them. And so realizing their need. We need to pray that they will hear with their ears. We need to pray that they will have faith to believe is the next step in that. Faith to believe. Acts 20, verse 21. I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need faith to believe, and we need those that we are witnessing to have faith so that they do believe. And that belief is joined with, what's that word? Repentance. Repent and believe. That's a, they walk together. Then lastly, there in that section after number two, the will to respond. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the response. And so we need to pray that those that we're witnessing to have the will to respond to Jesus. Next prayer. Ask God, goes along with the harvesters. Ask God to send people into their lives to witness. And this verse we already read about the harvesters. And so not only are you asking God to send you as a harvester and to send people with you, but you're asking God to send other people into their lives also to be harvesters and witnesses to them as well. Number four, ask God for ways to build caring relationship. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that I may by every possible means save some. And so the reality is to care enough to be what they need you to be the person that's going to sit down and have that conversation in that moment. And you're going to connect with them where they're at. Whether that's where you're at or not, or whether you've been there or not, you care enough to connect where they're at and be who they need you to be to reach them. And then lastly, ask God for an opportunity to invite them to an event where the gospel is shared. And there's a passage in Luke 14, 23. And it's a parable that Jesus is telling. And I actually took this out of the New American Standard Bible. This wording I liked a little bit better. Just kind of brings the clarity to it. And the master sends out the slaves into the streets and says this, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them, ask them, bring them in, compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. And so we call this what? The house of the Lord or God's church. And so we have opportunities on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, or we have an event where the gospel is going to be shared that we can invite someone. I don't want you to only take this approach, because we shouldn't only take this approach of inviting people. We should also share the gospel. But there's an opportunity to invite someone to say, hey, why don't you come with me to church? Or, hey, why don't you bring your kids to this event and come hang out with us, whatever it may be, where the gospel is going to be proclaimed. And so ask for God to give you opportunities to do that as well, to bring someone to a gospel event where the gospel is going to be shared. So, like I said earlier, the principle is that we're looking to connect people where they're at to the unchanging gospel. The prayer is the foundation of that. Realizing your need for God to work. And all those areas we need God to work in. We cannot do it on our own. God has to change the hearts. God has to open the ears. God has to open the eyes. All those things God has to do. He has to send the harvesters. And so we need to rely on that. And prayer is the actual response to knowing that you're relying on God to do this. And so you can say to yourself, okay, I know that I can't do it on my own, and so I need God to work. But if you don't actually pray about it, do you really realize that? Do I really realize it if I don't pray about it and really seek him to work? And so prayer is the action of the realization that we need God's work in this. He's the one who saves, not me. So now we're getting into, okay, how do I take that conversation that I'm having right now and take it to Jesus? What are these signs? What are these starters that I could have in my conversations to take it from where I am to the gospel? And so there's five approaches that we're going to go through, and they're all right here on this slide, but they are this. Use the power of stories. Does anybody like stories? I shared several weeks ago, I love stories. I love hearing people tell stories. And that's what my conversation was yesterday. It was stories, just life. What is life about? What's happened in your life? All these things. And so here's the idea here, is that we're using the power of stories. And as we're hearing stories, we're listening to them. And we're asking about their story in their life and actually paying attention to it so that we can connect it to our story of what Christ has done in our life. Ultimately, though, more important than our story is Christ's story, the gospel, the unchanging gospel. But that is part of your story if you are a believer. And so it's easy to take our story right to the gospel. So how do I share this story? Well, share about what your life was like before meeting Jesus. Share about how did Jesus change your life, explaining the gospel at that point. And then how your life is changed from when you met him until now. How your life's changed from when you met him until now. How God is continuing to work in your life. Those are the things you want to share when you're sharing your story. You know these things, right? This is your life. And so if you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you know what he's been doing in your life since that moment. You know the hope that you have now because of Jesus Christ. And so it's easy to share your life story. Like if I asked you today, hey, tell me what you did yesterday. Some of you may go, yesterday? What was yesterday? And some of you may know every single detail of yesterday. And at some point in that yesterday, you can connect that to the gospel. Guaranteed, you can connect yesterday, the whole day, to the gospel in some way, shape, or form. If you want to challenge me on it, we'll sit down and you tell me your story and I will connect it to the gospel. It's simple. But we overcomplicate it. If you stubbed your toe yesterday, you can connect that to the gospel. It's easy to do. And so don't overcomplicate it. Just tell your story. Connect what God has done for you. Next thing that we need to do when having these conversations, the next approach that we can do to connect it to the gospel is to ask good questions. Ask good questions. Like Philip, as he walked up to the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, hey, what you reading? No. Do you understand what you're reading there? You know, it's a good question. And so ask some questions maybe like these. And I didn't put them up there, but here's three good questions you could ask. And here's one. What's your faith background? You know, were you ever raised in church? Have you ever gone to church anywhere? What's your faith like? And so as they're sharing their life story, they may share nothing about their faith. And you could just simply say, you know, as a kid, I had this church that I went to. Did you ever go to church as a kid? And you're asking that foundational faith background in their life. And it may not be a church if you're sharing with someone that maybe wasn't raised in church at all, but they maybe have one little experience of something that happened in church. Maybe they have a bitterness towards church. And you're able to take that from religion to a relationship with Christ. And a bitterness towards organized religion to what the reality is, Christ has called us to a relationship with him. It's not about religion. Another good question would be, when you attend church, where do you go? If they start talking about their life and you want to connect it to church, when you attend church, where do you go? Here's another one, and if they know you're a Christian, this is a great conversation starter. In your opinion, what is a real Christian? And they may go, not you. I don't know. That would not be good. I hope they don't say that. But the reality is, many people have different views of what a Christian is. And they may think that a Christian, and that statement, not you, may not be a bad thing. Because they may think that a Christian is a legalistic person who this has to be done, and you're not like that. And so you have taken the view of what it means to be a Christian in a total good direction, because you are showing the grace that we have in Christ, and you've been proclaiming that, and you're changing their view of what a Christian is to what the reality of what the Bible says a Christian is. And so, in your opinion, what is a real Christian? The next conversation starter, the next signpost that you could have is this: give genuine affirmation and encouragement to their life. Genuine affirmation and encouragement. You can affirm someone personally without endorsing their lifestyle completely. You can have that conversation with someone as they start to tell about their life, and you can affirm moral decisions in their life, and you can affirm good things in life and encourage those things in their life, and you can even affirm the falls and the failures, because the reality of sin in the world, and that's a real reality. And so as we have that conversation, you can affirm, yeah, man, that is so hard, because the reality is every single one of us is dealing with sin in our life. And affirm that and give them encouragement. What's the encouragement we have in our life? The forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. And so through those real conversations, in order to genuinely affirm and encourage someone, you've got to be listening, right, to what they're talking about. And then number four, speak to a person's mind and heart. Speak to a person's mind and heart. Actually, on your if you grabbed one of the outlines, those words mind and heart somehow got erased. I did it. And so go ahead, you can write those on there. There's no blank there, but it's speak to a person's mind and heart. Seek to apply the gospel to their real life struggles, making it less about a debate and just the reality of, man, here's the hope I have. I struggled with that same thing. Here's the hope I found. And so connect not only to their mind as far as sharing the gospel, but connect to their passions, connect to their brokenness of their heart when you're sharing. And then number five, connect beneath the surface. And this goes right into that mind and heart idea as well. You know, many people around us only know us on the surface. They may know where we are raised. They may know the house we were born in. They may know all that stuff about us. But those are all surface things. Those are foundational things. We talked about that already. You know, that those foundations, those things that we didn't choose, they make us who we are today. But those things are surface things. And they don't know much about us beyond that. And so as you start having these real conversations, you start hearing their life story, the ups, the downs, the exciting things and the failures, you're able to take that and share real things with them that has happened in your life, and you're going beneath your surface. You're not looking just to hear beneath their surface. You're willing to share beneath your surface and open up and share your life with them as well. As we take these practical steps of using the power of stories, and we take and we ask good questions during our conversations, we give genuine affirmation and encouragement. We speak not only to their mind, but to their heart as well. And as we're doing that, we're getting beneath the surface. And we're bathing this whole entire thing in prayer, covering it in prayer. And that's how we get from the point where we are stuck going, how am I going to take this to Jesus? To, here's how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be real about my life. Go beneath the surface, connecting, hearing the stories. And I've already bathed this in prayer, and I'm going to continue to bathe in prayer. And then we start opening up our mouth. And so the moment Jesus comes to mind, we start to look for the opportunity. Where's the segue? Where am I going to get to it? How am I going to share the gospel? There it is. Here we go. Let me connect it here. And so encourage you in those ways to this week, as you go into conversations, as you go into work, your home, your family, whatever it may be, and you're looking to connect the gospel to your conversations, then this week, look for opportunities to do that. But start today bathing it in prayer, covering it in prayer, so that we know we're relying on God. If you have missed the previous weeks and you're like, man, I have no idea what you're even talking about, then you can catch up, but we are in week 5 of this, and so you can catch up, and I do send out the notes for emails as well, but we're working through the simple fact that many of us struggle with sharing Jesus with those around us, and we've been taught throughout our life different steps and different strategies of sharing Jesus, and many times when we come to the time to have that conversation, we forget them. And so we're really seeking to, man, how do I stop freaking out about it? How do I stop stressing about it? And just sit down with someone and just talk about who Jesus is to me. And that's the goal behind this whole thing. So our prayer this week, as we close with that, our prayer this week is very simply this. That God will help you live out the gospel well. What's that mean? That you'll live what you know. The forgiveness you know, you'll hand out. The love you know, you'll hand out. All these things, you start to live out the gospel in your life. Next, that God will fill you with his love for people. Man, we need, in order to reach those around us, we need to have a genuine love for them. And so that God will start to soften our heart to love those around us like he loves them. And so pray for that. Pray that God will help you to use one of these approaches that we've talked about today in an evangelistic conversation with someone this week. And so one of these several approaches that you can get, and you don't have to have all those. You're like, I don't even remember those, and I thought Rick wasn't going to give us points in order to share it. The reality is that we're just looking to connect our story and be real with people. And so all those points just point to the fact that, hey, take their story, connect it to the gospel, and be real with them. And so you don't have to remember much, just be real. And so the reality is, hey, okay, me, I need to be thoughtful in my question asking, and I need to be thoughtful in getting it to it, but how do I do that? And so listen, ask some questions, and take it to the gospel. And then lastly, that God will help you to love and affirm a non-believer you know whose lifestyle you wouldn't necessarily endorse. You may have heard that point and go, man, how do I do that? How do I love and affirm someone when I just do not understand their lifestyle? How easily we forget what God has saved us from. Do not forget what God has saved you from and the fact that we too were lost sinners without Jesus. So without Jesus, we are not where we are today. And so do not forget that as we go to have conversations with people. We're going to pray as we close, and we'll have a time of singing as we close, but I would encourage you, if you've started to have those conversations with someone and you want someone to pray with you, you're thinking to yourself, man, I could really use someone to help me pray about this or just to join me in prayer because I've been talking to Johnny and he really needs to hear it again and I'm trying to have this conversation. I've been frozen. Then, hey, send me a text. Give me a call. Catch me after church and say, hey, could you help me pray for Johnny, and I'd love to help you pray for Johnny or Bobby or Sue or whoever it is. And so please share those with me, share those with the elders, and we'd love to pray with you about those conversations and having those conversations. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much. The remembrance we had today of communion and the death and burial and resurrection that you paid for us, Lord. Lord, help us to take this hope that we have in you and to be real with people around us and just share it, to not stress out about it, to not worry about it, Lord, but just to take it to the truth. And so, Lord, I do pray each of these prayers as we get into these conversations, help us to have boldness, Lord. Lord, help us to rely on your power, the power of the Holy Spirit in the conversations we're having and in our life, not only to change the heart of the person we're talking to, but to change our heart and prepare us. So, Lord, help us to have your power and to rely on it. Lord, I pray that you will send people to join us in reaching those we are talking to. And that you'll send others into their lives over and over and over. Lord, I pray that you will help us as we talk, rely on you to open the eyes of a person, to give them ears to hear, to give them faith to believe, to give them a will to respond, and help us to rely on you for that, Lord. Lord, help us to have real caring and build real caring relationships with those around us. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, may this not be a prayer we only pray here. And may we not focus on praying that exact prayer, but may it just be a reminder that we need you and to take action in prayer. Open our mouths. Give us wisdom to see the opportunities to share you today and boldness to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.